Once again, if you're joining us online, I want you to know that my name is Pastor Valerian. I'm the pastor of Southside Bible Fellowship. And here, our goal is to connect people to God and to each other. Regardless of where you come from, we know that in Christ, we are all united. If you can take your Bible and open to Exodus chapter 10. And for those of you that may not have their Bibles with them, we have some Bible out there where the offering box is. You're welcome to go and take one. You can take it and use it now, but you can also take it home and use it at home as well. We don't have to keep Bibles in the building, and we have people who don't have Bibles. If you've been attending Southside Bible Fellowship, or if you are a member, you know that this is a Bible-believing church. And here we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And because everyone who believes in Jesus is a child of God, then the Bible is God's Word for us. With that in mind, we're going to read Exodus chapter 10, verse 21 to 29. Exodus chapter 10, 21 to 29. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky so that darkness spreads over Egypt. Darkness that can be felt." This time the Lord brings a plague of darkness without giving Pharaoh a warning. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or move about for 3 days. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. Again, God is showing a distinction between his people and Pharaoh's people. He is showing a distinction between those who believe in him and those who did not believe in him. Those who had accepted him and those that had rejected him. God is showing a distinction. Verse 24. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, "Go worship the Lord, even your women and children may go with you. Only leave your flocks and herds behind." We've seen it before when Pharaoh kind of negotiates with the Lord, when he prescribes his own way of letting the people go. He once suggested that only the men should go and women and children should remain. And Moses said no. And he's now suggesting that you can go with the men and the women and the children, but leave your flock behind. What Pharaoh is trying to do here, he's trying to have his way. He wants to allow the children of Israel to go, but to still be in control of how they will go. He also wants to be in control of how they are going to worship their God. This is someone who is refusing to submit. Verse 25, "But Moses said, 'You must allow us to have sacrifices and burnt offerings to present to the Lord our God. Our livestock too must go with us. Not a hoof is to be left behind. We have to use some of them in worshiping the Lord our God. And until we get there, we will not know what we are to use to worship the Lord.'" Moses is saying, you are not going to choose for us what we bring to the Lord and what we leave behind. Because what we bring to the Lord is not our decision, it's the Lord's decision. This is a principle that every believer needs to have, that what you and I bring to the Lord is not what we decide. Once we submit to the Lord, everything belongs to Him. Everything is at His disposal. We don't decide that this is for the Lord and this is not, because this is what Pharaoh is trying to do. Moses is telling him, no, we are going with everything we have because we are not sure what the Lord is going to require from us, but we want to be prepared. Whatever He asks for, that's what we will give. So we are not going to decide what to leave behind. Moses is saying here that there is no compromise when it comes to our faith and our relationship with the Lord. Verse 27, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Pharaoh said to Moses, get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die. And Moses responded, just as you say, I will never appear before you again. Pharaoh was overcome by darkness. He couldn't take any more than the 3 days of darkness in Egypt. And now that he has tried to have his way and failed, he is angry and he wants nothing to do with Moses, which actually means he wants nothing to do with the Lord. Please pray with me. Father, we come before you this morning again, acknowledging your presence, acknowledging the power and the grace that your word brings to us. We pray that you may speak to us, that you may teach us, that you may enable us to realize that you are there for us and that we can always turn to you, that you may give us the confidence that we need to have in our faith and continue to strengthen us by the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Pharaoh and the Egyptians have enjoyed the grace of God for a long time. They have enjoyed the light that the Lord has been providing in Egypt. But they took it for granted because they ascribed greatness to idols. Instead of worshiping the Lord who makes the light to shine, they worshiped the sun god called, his name was Amon-Re, or Re in short. They worshiped the sun god, they ascribed greatness to him, and they submitted to him. And now God is taking out the light, proving to them that the sun god you have been worshiping is powerless. Every time we turn to something else, every time God's people ascribe greatness to something else, that is idol worship. And sometimes God will strike that which we pay attention to, that which we ascribe greatness to, just to prove to us that we are wrong in the first place. Egypt is in darkness. The ninth plague is not only a judgment to Pharaoh and the Egyptians, it is a judgment to the sun god. And this is what God has been doing in Egypt. With every plague, he has been striking down the gods of the Egyptians. Because the Egyptians ascribed greatness to false gods. This is deep darkness, and this darkness is symbolic. It symbolizes spiritual darkness in Egypt. It symbolizes the hardness of Pharaoh's heart and the idol worship of the Egyptians. This darkness symbolizes a nation that consistently rejects the Lord. Sounds like a nation that consistently rejects the Lord. This darkness symbolizes a community that refuses to walk in the light. It symbolizes a society that does not only support evil works of darkness, but it punishes those who walk in the light. A society that does not only support the work of the evil one, but it punishes those who want to serve the Lord, those who want to stand for the Lord, those who want to say, this is sinful. This darkness symbolizes a nation that is rejecting the Lord. And in the scripture, darkness represents ungodliness. It represents everything that is against God in the scripture. Let me just give you a few passages of the Bible here. In John 3, verse 19, when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus and telling him, you must be born again. And then we get John 3:16 there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. To perish is to be in the dark. It is to be separated from God forever, but may have everlasting life. Life that has no end. Then Jesus says in John 3:19, he says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people have loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. There is light, but they have loved darkness. And Jesus is speaking about himself. He's speaking about God's revelation. He's speaking about the light of the Lord. He's speaking about godliness, righteousness. And he's saying, even though there is light, they have loved darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. 1 John is towards the end of the Bible. In chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not live out the truth. If we claim, and this is referring to Christians, if we claim that we have fellowship with the Lord and we are walking in darkness, we are supporting the works of darkness. We are participating in the works of darkness, sinful nature. We are enjoying sin in our lives. Then we are lying and we are not walking in his truth. Without the Lord, we are lost. We are lost in the deep darkness. And like Pharaoh, when we are lost, we want to take the grace of God for granted. This is what Pharaoh is doing. Pharaoh has been playing with the Lord. All the time the Lord strikes Egypt, when Pharaoh realizes that it's beyond his control, he turns to Moses, please pray to the Lord that he may take away the frogs. Please pray to the Lord that he may take away the flies. Please pray to the Lord that he may stop the hail. He turns to Moses and he says, I have sinned this time. He's been playing games with the Lord. He is taking the grace of God for granted. We have Christians today that do the same, claiming to be Christians, yet living the way they want, not submitting to the Lord. In fact, Christ in many people's lives has become just an addition. No wonder we say, all I want is a little bit of coffee and a lot more of Jesus. Because we think Jesus and coffee are almost the same, but we want more of him. He's just an addition to our lifestyle. I already have everything I want. Maybe I need Jesus here just to add on to what I may not have. And we end up abusing the grace of God. We insist on doing things on our own way. We are willing to be Christians as long as we can live for ourselves. One of the reasons that the church has lost its voice, especially here in America, is because the church forgot her voice. The church forgot that it stands for the Lord. The church forgot that she finds her strength and her courage in the Word of God. And when the church decided to leave the Word of God behind, it failed. And now people look at us as Christians and they laugh at us. They look at us, sometimes you say something as a Christian and the society that you live in looks at you as if you are someone who doesn't think. Because we have left behind what should define who we are. We have taken the grace of God for granted. The Israelites did the same thing. When they were taken to Egypt, they enjoyed life there. They planted and married and built houses and they enjoyed life. They forgot about their God until Pharaoh started enslaving them. That's when they turned to the Lord. That's when they remembered his promises and cried out to him. And the Lord, because he's gracious, he's merciful, he heard their cry and he came down to rescue them. We need to know that there is no safety in the dark. Rory, what are you looking for? So let me speak to you here. And everyone else that is listening who does not believe in Jesus. It is never safe in the dark. Darkness is the devil's playground. In the darkness, there is hopeless. There is no joy. There is no help. And the devil wants you to postpone giving your life to Christ because he wants you to think that there will always be another chance. I used to think the same as a young man. I used to tell myself, I will give my life to Christ when I grow older. I still have some time to enjoy life. I'll give my life when my bones are breaking, when I cannot walk, when I cannot speak well, when I know I'm about to die. I will give my life to God because the only thing I need him for is heaven. That's what I used to tell myself. And then the Lord reminded me that that was a foolish kind of thinking. Because the Lord can demand my life and anyone's life at any time he wants. And the best thing you can do is to be ready for that. So that when he calls you, when he says Rose Grenon in his register, you can respond, present Lord, with joy, with a smile. Because you know where you are going. When he says, Rick Bauer, you will be quick to stand up present. Because you know where you are going. You will not leave this world in fear. You will live in confidence because you know that you have a life with Christ. But for those of us that don't believe in Jesus, when you keep on postponing the day you will submit yourself to the Lord, that's the devil's mind. It's the devil's thinking. He's putting his thoughts in you, making you think that there will always be another chance. And listen, sometimes the only chance that the Lord gives us is the only chance that we have. Let me repeat that. Sometimes the only chance that the Lord gives you is the only chance that you have. There is no guarantee of another chance. And let me remind you also that the Lord has been giving us a lot of chances. He's given you more than you need. He's given you, since the time you were born, since the moment you started to speak, from the time you realized this is wrong and this is right, the Lord has been giving you a chance, an opportunity to choose what is right. So, while you keep on postponing, you are lying to yourself. For anyone who does not believe in Jesus Christ, darkness is a reminder that you need the light. Darkness is there to remind you that you need the light. And this is one thing the Lord is teaching the Egyptians also. By bringing darkness for 3 days, he's reminding them of their need for the light. The light that they have been taking for granted. The light that was coming from the Lord. The light that the Lord was providing to them graciously. Let me give you an illustration of a conversation between a pastor and a young woman who had heard the gospel for many times. This was shared by Charles Spurgeon. For those of you who may not know, Spurgeon was a preacher, one of the powerful preachers in history. The pastor said to this lady, "Well, Hannah, do you intend to come to Christ one day?" And she said, "Yes, sir, I do intend." "Well," the pastor said, "will you give me a date when you will come to Christ? You are 20 now. Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ when you are 40? Will you put that down as a definite promise?" And she answered, "Well, sir, I should not like to promise because I might be dead before I'm 40. 20 years is a long time. I hope I should know the Lord before then." The pastor said, "Okay. Will you say 9 years then? That is to be the time that you can fix up to yield to the mercy of God." And she said, "Well, sir, I hope it will be before 9 years." "No," he said, "you will have to run the risks for 9 years. You know, you make that bargain that you will come to Christ in 9 years' time. Let it stand so, and you must run the risk." And she said, "Oh, sir, it will be an awful thing, a dreadful thing for me to say that I would wait for 9 years. Then the pastor said, "Well, suppose we say that you will serve the Lord in 12 months' time. Will you just take this year and spend it in the service of Satan? And then when you have enjoyed yourself that way, give your heart to Christ. And somehow the woman said, "Oh, sir, it had better be tonight. It had better be tonight. Pray to God that I may now give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is such a dreadful thing to be without a Savior. I would have Christ as mine this very night." Sometimes the chance that the Lord gives us is the only chance that we have, and it's the only chance that we need. For those of you that believe in Jesus, I have a message for you. It is always safer in the light. Because in the light, we have the Lord. In the light, we have peace, we have hope, and we have joy. In fact, in the scripture, light represents the Lord and his word. Let me just give you some scriptures here for your personal study. In Psalm 119, verse 105, this is a passage we used to learn when we were young men. Psalm 119, verse 105, David says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." He's saying, I cannot take a step in the right direction unless your word directs me. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All of you young men and women that were here, let the word of the Lord be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. He will lead you in the right place because he knows his way through the dark. You just need to follow the light. In Isaiah 9 verse 2, Isaiah 9 verse 2, speaking of salvation, the Bible says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has come." Referring to the coming of Jesus Christ, referring to the coming of salvation that Jesus was bringing to his people. Everyone was living in the darkness, and Jesus was the light that was coming to bring light to the lives of men and women. In Psalm 27, verse 1, this is a verse you need, especially this time. Psalm 27, verse 1, David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You find yourself in the darkness. Remind yourself of the light. James chapter 1 verse 17. James chapter 1 verse 17 is another passage that we all need. "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights." King James says, "From the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He is the Father that gives us every good and perfect thing. It is safer in the light. Let me finish with John chapter 8 verse 12. Jesus was speaking to the Jews that believed in him. And he said, "I am the light of the world. Whosoever follows me shall have the light of life and shall never walk in darkness." Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will have the light of life You will not walk in darkness. You cannot walk in the dark while following Jesus Christ, because he is the light. It is safer in the light. It is always safer in the light. We find our joy, we find our hope, we find our peace, we find our confidence. But sometimes believers find themselves in the dark. As believers, sometimes we find ourselves in the dark when we walk away from the path of righteousness, when we fall into sin, when we disobey the Lord, because sin transfers power to the devil. Sin transfers power to the enemy of our faith. So when we fall into sin, we are walking in the dark. At that particular moment, we are in the dark, because we are involving ourselves with the deeds of darkness. So believers sometimes find themselves in there. Sometimes you will find yourself in the dark, not because you have sinned, but because the enemy has had an opportunity to try you, or the Lord has allowed him to test you. And you are paining, you are having problems, you are going through difficulties. Like the Israelites, they found themselves in the dark in Egypt. They found themselves serving Pharaoh. They were slaves. They were supposed to be free, enjoying life. But they found themselves in this deep darkness of slavery. And darkness will intensify our fears. When you find yourself in darkness, it intensifies your fears. It doesn't matter who you are. It deepens your despair. It multiplies your worries. When you find yourself in the dark, it will intensify your fears, deepen your despair, and multiply your worries. But as a believer, darkness does something so good. While for someone who does not believe in the Lord, darkness will remind them of the light that they need. Listen to this. For someone that believes in Jesus, darkness increases their need for the light. For someone that believes in Jesus, darkness increases their need for the light. When they find themselves in the dark, their desire for the light reaches a new high. When they find themselves in that difficulty, their need for the Lord reaches a new high. Because darkness increases our need for the light. You should remember that. You should remind yourself of that. Why am I saying this? This is the message that I have for you. The light we have assures us of the grace we need. The light we have, the Christ in us, that faith that we hold on to, that confidence that we have, the Holy Spirit who is present in our lives because of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, is there to assure us of the grace that we need. As a believer, darkness will increase your need for the light, because the light you have assures you of the grace that you need. And let me tell you, don't get to a place where you convince yourself that you no longer need the grace of God. We need His grace every day. I am in the same need of that grace as you are in the same need of that grace. I need it every day. I have realized that I cannot live like a Christian on my own way. I have realized that I cannot live like a Christian without following Jesus Christ daily. The light that we have assures us of the grace that we need. This is what the Lord is doing to the Israelites. Remember, it is only in Goshen where the Israelites were. We are told in verse 23, only in Goshen where the Israelites were that they still had light. While the Egyptians were struggling with darkness, deep darkness, the Israelites were enjoying the light. And that light was there to remind them that they needed the grace of God. It wasn't because of anything good that they had done. It was because of the goodness of the Lord. And this is what I usually say here. I become more personal. You'll hear people saying, if you are alive today, if you are not sick, you know, if you are, you had breakfast, praise the Lord. But I want to tell you, whether you are alive and you are not sick and you had breakfast, or you are sick and you did not have breakfast, or you don't even know what your next meal is going to come from, wherever that you are going through that may not be pleasing to you, you still have a reason to praise the Lord. In fact, for those of us that are at times when you turn on your bed, you just feel that pain. Ah, it is there. Let it remind you of giving thanks to the Lord. And so you feel that pain. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Because the Bible tells us, give thanks in all situations. Because, you know, how I feel doesn't change who the Lord is. It doesn't. Just because today I am gloomy and unhappy, it doesn't mean that the Lord is gloomy and unhappy. Just because my plans did not go the way I wanted, it doesn't mean that the Lord's plans didn't go the way He wanted. Just because I didn't find what I'm looking for, it doesn't mean that the Lord cannot find what He's looking for. Hey, in every moment, in every pain, give thanks to the Lord. We are fond of giving thanks when things go well, and then complain when they don't go well. But if you realize that you are in the light, and that light assures you of the grace that you need, you will find yourself giving thanks anyway. Let me finish this with 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This is one of my best scriptures in the Bible. One of my best. Peter is speaking to believers, and he's telling them, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Let me repeat that. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Then he says, there's a reason for that. This is who you are. This is your identity. Are you with me, Liz? This is your identity. Okay? A chosen person. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. God's special possession. That is your identity. You may not feel special, but you are special. Do you know why? Because the one who is in you is special. You're not special because you are an American citizen. No. You are special because you are a citizen of heaven. That is your identity, Peter is saying. And then he says, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. And he says, that you may declare the praises of him. The praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful, King James, I think, says, marvelous light. He chose you, he made you, that you may declare his praises. Why? Because he called you from darkness into his marvelous light, so that in the light you may praise him, in the light you may glorify him, in the light you may acknowledge him, in the light you may obey him, in the light you may say, this is my God. The Israelites are finding themselves in a position that assures them of their need of God's presence. And you know, you are in the light, and because you are in the light, the Lord allows his light to shine upon you. And this is the reason he allows his light to shine upon you. For those who want to write, let me give you these points and I will be done here. The Lord uses his light to shine in our lives. Number one, to teach the enemy a lesson. This is what he's doing to Egyptians. He's denying them the light, allowing the Israelites to have light to teach them a lesson. He did not just save you so that you can enjoy this life. He also saved you to teach the enemy a lesson. Number two, to ensure us of his grace, his presence, and his power. He uses the light that shines in our lives to teach the enemy a lesson, to ensure us of his grace, his presence, and his power. Number three, to show that he is in control. Can you imagine being in Egypt and one side you are enjoying the light, in the other side they can't even see one another? For you to enjoy this kind of light, you have to join God's people. To show that he is in control. And finally, to humble us. You see, sometimes the Lord uses difficulties to humble people, but sometimes he uses blessings to humble people. He blesses you. You look at it, you look at where you are coming from, and you can tell this is the Lord's doing. And it humbles you. Instead of it lifting you up, it just humbles you. You look at his protection in your life, at his provision in your life, and it humbles you. You look at what he has done in your life. You may have so many things to complain about, but you can't even count the number of things that you have to give thanks for, and it humbles you. You look at yourself and you feel some pain in your life, but you can count, the Lord has been good to me. He has been faithful to me. There are many times that I wasn't faithful to him. There are many times that I never listened to him, but he has been good to me, and it humbles you. He allows his light to shine upon us so that he can humble us. And remember, the light we have is there to assure us of the grace we need. And so you and I, brothers and sisters, when we find ourselves in the dark, just know that you don't belong there. You belong to the light. As a child of God, you need to know that regardless of what is happening in your life, the Lord is still on the throne and he has you on his hands. If you don't believe me, read John chapter 10, verse 27 to verse 30. Jesus says that you are on his hands and no one can snatch you from his hands. John 10, 27 to verse 30. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I am here to tell you that the light of the Lord will continue to shine in your life, and darkness will not be able to overcome it, because you belong to the light. And that light, my friend, is there to remind you of your need for his grace. Is there to remind you and me that we need his grace every day. That day when you are walking, you feel so strong, so healthy, you feel like you are on top of your game, you need his grace, because the next step will be a fall. That day when you wake up and you feel like the whole world is against you, everything you touch backfires, you need his grace, because he has a way through the darkness. He knows what you need. He is the light. He is your light. He is my light. And he keeps on reminding us of the grace that we need. I want to encourage you today. When you pray, ask God to help you acknowledge his grace in your life. Admit to him that you cannot do it without him. Don't be afraid, because it is the truth. And every time you go to your house and you turn the light on, let that light remind you of the grace that you need. Father, I want to thank you for your love for us. I want to thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to worship you, to glorify you, to remind ourselves of the praises that we need to give to you, to remind ourselves of the hope that we have in you. And for every family that is represented here, Lord, I pray that your hand may be upon them. I pray that you may show yourself strong on their behalf. I pray that you may meet them at the point of their need. I pray that they may realize, as long as they believe in you, that they are walking in the light, because you are the light, and that you may remind them of the grace that they need. And anyone else that is listening to us, anyone that does not believe in you, may you remind that one person that the darkness that they are facing in their lives is there to remind them of their need for the light, their need for you. And in your own way, may you bring them closer. May you open their eyes and enable them to submit to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. May everyone say, Amen.